Hi everyone, welcome to the Reitzel Brothers podcast. I'm Matt.
And I'm Curtis. We are the co-hosts of this podcast.
We are investor-focused realtors working with our clients to help them build massive wealth in real estate.
This is a place where we talk about real estate investing, wealth, and giving back.
Make sure to check us out on YouTube and join our private real estate investor group on Facebook called the Tri-City Real Estate Investor Club. Links are in the description.
Enjoy this episode. What's going on, everybody? It is the Reitzel Brothers, and we're here for the Reitzel Brothers podcast. We're still doing that, baby. We've been doing that for a long time, and we're having fun with it. So today,
and I've been practicing too, and I can't do it without my voice doing a bit of a crackle. Thing that note that I feel like I need to hit
to get it, a little higher up
just
in
to
the
get
octaves.
The note that I'm choosing. I need to maybe change it and go for a lower octave. I don't know. It just doesn't feel as fun. I just feel like going for that pitch just is fun.
Anyways. I think everybody listening, Matt, agrees that you get to a good level of pitch. I think your you could work on it a little bit, though. So we're excited. I love that. We're excited. We're going to be jumping into The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. We have been going through the book, and we're going now into the lies that mislead and derail us. And what I like about the way that Gary Keller and Jay Papasan goes about writing books is they always start off with the myths first that kind of hold you back from whatever you're doing. So they co-authored The Millionaire Real Estate Agent and The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. And both of those books, they talk about, you know, the myths at the beginning, and then they talk about the way that you think. So, you know, the foundational ways to think to be successful in those arenas. And I know a lot of you have read The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, which is an amazing book. What I like about The One Thing is it's focused on productivity. Mm. And it's for anybody. Anybody can read this book and take away things to become more, you know, productive in your, you know, business, but also in your personal life and your physical life, your spiritual. So we're going to touch on a fair amount of that today. But we're going to be talking about everything matters equally and how that's a big lie. It's one of those things that I feel like we in society have brainwashed is the best way, but just kind of come to believe that it's the way that we should be operating. And it's really not. So I'm just going
to
start listening.
Well, I mean, yeah, like it seems, sorry to interrupt, but like it seems kind of natural to have a to-do list. And then when you look at that to-do list, you just start hammering it out in the order of what you wrote it, for example, because you think that everything on there matters equally when, you know, you might have some things on there where it's like, follow up with a client about this. And then you have one thing where it's like, pick the kids up from school. And then the other thing is pick up dry cleaning from the dry cleaner. And you can see when you hear those three items that some of them vary more in importance for different reasons.
Yeah.
Some of them are more important and some of them are more time specific.
Right.
Right. So when you look at a to-do list, that's one of the things they talk about in this chapter is, yeah, make a to-do list, but then take the next step and turn it into a success list.
Yeah.
And look at what are the things that are the most important to do and you know, they even suggest some things completely coming off your to-do list entirely.
Right.
And just not even worrying about them, especially until you get those main things done.
Yeah.
Obviously, picking up the kids from school, that's a top priority. You got to be there unless someone else is going to do it for you, I guess. But if you want to be there, then it's like, okay, at 3 o'clock or whatever that time is, that's the utmost important.
Right.
And then kind of one of the things they're getting at is, you know, going to pick up the dry cleaning shouldn't get in the way from you following up with that client with the example that I just used.
Right.
It's, you got to kind of pick and choose and be able to determine what's going to be the most important. I know that's kind of an obvious one, but I've been, you know, I've done that in the past where it's like, there's something more important, say on the business side of things that I'm kind of avoiding doing and going, doing something silly, like going to pick up the dry cleaning when it's really not that important.
No,
right. So it's just a matter of determining what's the most important, and that's kind of what this book is really all about is, you know, what are those key things that are going to make everything else easier or if not unnecessary.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. And it is in all aspects of life. I know I just kind of used a business example, but with the kids one, that's kind of a family one, right? And
right.
Prioritizing family and...
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I think the having a filter for how you go about making decisions, I think is really important, having some sort of model to put things through. And later in the book, it's called the focusing question, which we're going to touch on and we're going to go into detail on, is what's the one thing that you can do such that by doing it, everything else is easier or unnecessary. And actually taking time to think about what that one thing looks like for you and what that means for your life, for your personal life, for your fitness, for your business, etc., and using that to get to the most important thing, and then time block that in your schedule, and then whack away at that domino to then, you know, start the path of really tremendous success. And it's so true, because especially as time has gone on and now starting to take on different roles and different opportunities and different things and business and investing, you know, for example, that you kind of, well, now there's just more and more on your plate. And okay, well, what, you know, you only have a certain hours in the day and certain really productive hours in the morning where your willpower is really high.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do first thing? Like, what's that, you know, when your willpower is really high, you got to get down to the most important thing. And I've been listening to, because Gary and Jay, they have, you know, the Think Like a CEO podcast. And I just finished listening to all the episodes again. I think I listened to it 4 times now. And I listened to The One Thing. And I listened to The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, like all within the past like week. And I just love the way that Gary goes about thinking about success and just makes it really simple. Because success is simple. It's about identifying what that most important thing is that's going to have the biggest impact, right? Because when you look at, just like you were saying, with your, you know, your to-do list, say is 25 items, let's just say. Well, then you want to use Pareto's principle to then find out what that 20% is that's going to give you 80%, which then takes you down to then, you know, 25, and then 20% of that takes it down to 5 items on your success list. And then you want to go even further to say, what's the 20% of that 20%, which then takes it down to 1 item of whatever that the biggest thing that's going to move everything forward. And that one item is normally a very boring item. Like, it's lead generating for clients or following up with your clients. It's normally, or it's in your fitness, it's working out 30 minutes a day and making sure that you hit your 10,000 steps, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a simple item that is just something that needs to get time blocked and you need to hammer it.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I was, from one of the diagrams, I love the diagrams from the book, and I know on podcasts you can't see, you know, the diagram, so that's why you got to get the book to look at the diagrams. When he talks about...
Well, and on the One Thing website, too, I think they have a lot of the diagrams available there, right?
Yeah, I have them. Yeah, no, I have them on my iPad, too. Yeah, and they're all available on the website that you can get. And I like one of the terms that he uses is, you know, future purpose then connects to your present priority, and it needs to.
Mm.
So whatever that future purpose that you have, a lot of people call it big why, vision, mission, whatever that looks like for you, needs to then connect back to what you're doing in this moment. And we're going to go through it at the very, like, on one of the later episodes, and it's called Goal Setting to the Now, which is just such a simple concept, but so mind-blowing at the same time. Because how do you take something in the future and work her all the way back to, what do I need to do right now to move that forward? Whether that's, you know, $100 million real estate portfolio, or, you know, in a year, I want to be X weight and I want to have X body composition and X whatever. How do you work it backwards? And we're going to go through that in later episodes, goal setting to the now. don't know if you have anything. I feel like you're busting out the seams to say something.
I'm just kind of giggling, looking at some of my notes here, because they mention in the book, and it's so true. Growing up, things start to become more discretionary, because when you're a kid, yeah. You know, it's very structured. You know, it's bedtime, it's school time, it's nap time. Everything's very planned, and you're almost kind of jealous of those times, because it's so structured. It's not like you really have a choice, because then when you grow up, everything, obviously, you know, if you grew up right, you know, you can continue some of that discipline. It's like trained discipline into the future, but now everything sort of becomes discretionary. It's like all these things that I on the to-do list, I kind of have the option, right? I can do them or I can totally not do them. It's not like, you know, school starts at 8:30 and I got to be there. It's true. Right? It kind of makes you a little bit jealous of being a kid again. It's like, oh, growing up, kind of having a bit of growing pains a little bit, even though it's like I'm totally an adult. But
totally get what you're saying, though, right?
Still just working through this. And it's like and as you start to add on more responsibilities, yeah, you know, opportunities are often hidden in responsibilities.
Right.
That's
a good one.
You need to manage.
Boom, right there. It's a boom quote right there. Say it again.
Boom button.
Say it again real quick.
Well, opportunity is often hidden in responsibility.
Yeah. Boom. Yep.
That's, listening to a bit of Jordan Peterson. But,
yeah.
But it's so true. I mean, if you think about any opportunity that's come to you, it's usually with you kind of going the extra mile or doing something extra or, you know, taking on some sort of responsibility that sort of reveals that to you. So it's just right. A nice thing to keep in the back of your mind when you are, you know, take on responsibility in a strategic way and don't just pile everything onto your plate, because that's, you know, I've spoken to a lot of successful individuals who they sort of say a lot of their success was sort of toning back, but the reason that they're toning back is so they can go more in on other things.
Right.
It's not to just like totally unresponsibilityize themselves. I know it's not a word, but just to like pull back from all the responsibilities.
Right.
So
it's kind of like Steve Jobs, right? When he, I don't know the full Steve Jobs story, but when he, from my understanding, and it's in the one thing, when he came back to Apple, there was like, I don't know, 350 products.
Right. They had a ton, and then they decided his thing was just cut it.
Yeah, cut it.
Cut the crap. We want to do like a few things and do them really well.
Do them really well. Right? Yeah, and
like at Apple, it's just yeah.
But yeah, huge. And huge, just because, you know, the focus. And when they talk about going from E to P, we're kind of jumping all over from different aspects of the book. But when you go from E to P, there's really to go from entrepreneurial to purposeful. Is you need to have focus, models, and systems to now break through your ceiling of achievement. And the only way that you can give something laser focus is if you go through that process of, okay, what's your one thing? What does that look like for your life? And then work it back to the present moment and then time block a substantial amount of time on your schedule to move that forward. And, yeah, you know, you got to give it that focus, and then you got to start building models around that. You got to start building systems, whether in your business, etc., to make sure that you can continually hit that. And one last thing before you jump in, that you know, there's certain areas in your life where it's not necessary to put much focus in. It's like for me, and I can relate to Gary on this. That, you know, if I pick up a hammer, I've reached my ceiling of achievement. I've reached my ceiling of achievement. And sometimes I get crap for that, because, you know, sometimes like, man, you know, like, you know, be more handy, et cetera. But I just reached my ceiling of achievement. I have no desire to go further with that. Now, I want to be a little bit more handy, but I have no desire to become like, you know, like your level of skill in regards to, you know, you're pretty handy. Because in high school you were in auto and wood shop and you did
all the tech stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and you're super handy with that. But I think really what I'm getting at is if there's areas in your life that you're gonna just reach a certain level, just because a natural talent. And then if you want to take it to another level, it needs to then go back to focus models and systems. And you really do it for the areas that you really care about. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about becoming a better handy person. I just don't care about it.
So there's the, yeah, there's no point for you.
Yeah, but
because
I do.
Because there are other people who are skilled at that.
Yeah.
So you can do trades.
Exactly. And I can go out and, you know, kind of how Gary talks about it, go out and make more money to then hire somebody to take care of that. And I can focus on what I enjoy doing. And you were going to say something. I think you were, at least.
Yeah, just kind of quote machining here because I have a bunch of notes on this chapter. It goes back to something you were speaking about, kind of like the previous point. It's not enough to be busy. So are the ants. What are we busy about? You know, knocking out 100 tasks for whatever the reason is a poor substitute for doing even one thing or one task really well that's meaningful.
Yeah.
So I know it's just another way of saying this whole thing. It's looking at, I guess if there's one thing to take away, if you're a person that makes to-do lists, which I'm the kind of person that does that, like on my phone, I'll open a notepad, be like, here's the things I want to do over the next 24 hours or over the next week or over the next year, whatever it is, and then just taking the next step and prioritizing, right? And some things might just get taken off the list. Some things you might quote unquote delegate. You might hire that out. You might whatever. It's just taking the next step,
right?
Not just because in the past, especially in like my late teens, early 20s, I was still doing this back then, making the list, and then you just start banging it out from the top.
Yeah.
And then you're just doing tasks in the order of which you thought of them, which is just like, it's just so whatever. You're just going to be running around all day doing all this random stuff. If you can at least sort of prioritize it on what's the most important for moving things forward and what's the most important for your personal development, you're going to be in a way better place. Pick up the dry cleaning at the very end.
I think you've
unless you like you need to go to a wedding or something, then the priority changes.
And you keep talking about dry cleaning, so I think you've experienced this one, Matt, where you
I think it's an example in the book, but I also have been I've been known in the past to avoid doing things that I'm uncomfortable with that I know are more important.
Yeah. We all
to go out and do silly stuff like that.
We all are.
Just to go like pick up some stuff or whatever. It's just a really, you know, some of this stuff, it requires some solid thought and determination, and it's not just easy. That's why I feel like they got to talk about it in this book. It's not a natural skill that a lot of people have, and we're both just working on this right now. We're not preaching this like we're masters at it by any means. I hope it doesn't come off like that. And I'm sure it doesn't because
we're working through this.
We're not pros.
Yeah,
we're literally just going over our notes from this book. And like Kurt said, he's been listening to all this stuff. The One Thing is a book that I've probably listened to at least once over the last 5 years, once each year.
Yeah.
And you're just constantly, the way I look at a book is if you can just take one little tidbit from it, then you're golden. And the beauty thing about this book and a lot of these really research-based books is you can read it over and over again, especially as you're moving through different, like as you're developing as a human, like once a year, for example, is a good sort of timestamp.
Yeah.
You're going to likely take something new from it because you've had time to sort of, if you're intentional, you've had some time to, I guess, implement that previous thing that you had learned, and then you're at a new stage. So then that thing that you learned isn't going to be that thing that hits you like, bam, that's my point. You're going to pick up something else.
Right.
And layer it on. And it's like you're a mason just like laying bricks.
Right.
You don't build a coliseum overnight. You know, those types of sayings
for
where
sure.
It's like you're just laying a brick. You're laying a brick and just continuously getting slightly better.
I think one of the one things too with, one of the one things, you like that?
is it the one thing though?
We'll see. The when somebody says, you know, I've read that book, or I've read The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, or I've read The One Thing, I don't need to reread it. Well, I think we all need to understand with the way that, you know, you know, we're preaching about the one thing, but the way that Gary writes these books is he goes out and reads hundreds of books. He goes out and interviews hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of successful individuals and then writes a book. So it's like you were talking about the research part of it. These are very research-based books that they're just so dense. You know what I mean? Like the one thing is just under 300 pages, but it doesn't feel like it feels like a 800 page book because just how dense it is and just how well written it is. And one thing I want to touch on is when we if you were at the top of a 10 story building and you were to jump off that building, you're gonna die because it's called gravity. We've all accepted, you know, that there's gravity. It's called, it's called law of gravity. That if you jump off that building, you're going to die or you're really going to hurt yourself. And there's laws that govern our life every single day that we just accept because it is the way that it is, right? Just like that example. And it's the same thing with, success. It's the same thing with focusing on things that are going to lead you better results. The 80-20 rule, getting down to what that number one priority is, because we're going to live our life accepting all these laws, but then we're going to run our, we're going to run our businesses and our whatever you're looking to grow, and you're not going to have that same level of focus and just accepting that there's laws. Like, I mean, think about it, you wear 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, you drive 20% of the roads in your city 80% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably
more of like a 99-1 actually, instead of a 20-80.
Yeah, but it's the ratio. Yeah, right? But then you see 20% of the cars, 80% of the time. Like, it's all around us all the time. 20% of the real estate investors own 80% of the wealth. Now, the numbers could be 90-10 or 70-30 or 85-15, mm-hmm. but just understanding that there's a disproportionate ratio of
cause and effect.
Cause and effects. And just thinking about that, especially when we go about getting rid of these lies in our head, that everything doesn't matter equally. Not all my I guess this kind of sounds harsh, but not all my friends are equal to me. Right? Like, and I don't rank my friends by any means, but there's certain friends I get different stuff from, and there's certain friends where, you talk about other things, you have a different relationship. So I'm not trying to rank it, but just, there's certain people in my world. Mm-hmm. It's like our parents. Our parents are extremely important to us.
Right. And one's more important than the other.
Dad, no, I'm joking. But but we're not gonna say if we have a Zoom call with them on Friday night to catch up, well, we're not going to let some stranger that wants to talk to us get in the way of that.
True.
We're going to be on the call with their parents.
Yep.
Because not everything matters equally. Not everyone matters equally. It's not to say that another person doesn't matter. It's just, you need to be able to make decisions. And that's just one example. It might not be the greatest, but we need to be able to make decisions on what's important to us, and not everything matters equally.
True. Yeah, that actually, I don't know if this is clicking in for other people, but this is kind of just clicked in for me. It's this whole practice isn't all about finding what's the most important. It's also about determining what's less important and right. just spending less time focusing on that. And that's probably really obvious to everybody, but that's kind of just clicking into me right now. Because my whole thought with this was finding the things that are most important and just spending more time on that. And then the other stuff can just kind of slide down the list.
Yeah.
But if you can find something that you're doing repetitively that you determine is actually less important, that you probably shouldn't be doing it, then you can slide it down the list intentionally that way as well. So right. it's like just finding the things that are more important. And again, it doesn't just have to be business. It could be, like you said, for your physical or your spiritual or your relationships, sliding things that matter more up, and then things that matter less, slide them down. Because it's not, like I said, life isn't all about just being busy, right? It's about doing things with your time, because we all have a finite amount of time, that are going to move you in the direction that you want to go. And
I think too, yeah.
I'm so talking to myself right now.
Well, like, we all are. Yeah. and listening to, I was on a walk the other day, and I was just, because I, like, that's primarily when I listen to the audiobooks, and then I'll pause and just think, because I'm just thinking the whole time, literally the whole time, about life and about what's going on in our lives and business and moving to the next steps, and just, I'm just, this is how my brain works. And I just remember thinking, I was like, man, this
Kurt's brain just goes,
it doesn't stop. Yeah, stopping
ticker, man,
it doesn't stop. But I was just thinking, like, you know, this life's gonna be done. I don't know when my time's gonna click off and I'm done. I'm hoping it's gonna be, you know, later, and, you know, I can push 100, but this whole game could end at any moment. And what am I spending my time on? Like why am I here? And these are questions that I continually am just asking myself, like, why am I here? You know, and we all get to decide our purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like, why? Like, why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing every day? Why am I communicating with all the people I'm communicating with every day? Why am I going out and trying to grow a business? Like, you know, to taking things to another level. Like, why? And just, right, like, really asking ourselves these questions, because then you start to crystal down onto what's really important to you, right? Because
every why, that reminds me of when you're like a 4-year-old. I remember dad saying when we were kids, I think that's all kids, it's just everything you say to them, they're just like, why, because,
oh,
you're
like,
just, you're trying to just figure it out, right?
Oh, like, what is it? I think it's something like, why is it so light outside? Oh, because of the sun. And where's the sun? It's up in the sky. Why? Well, why is the sky blue? Why? Yeah, just, because it's blue. Because it's, you know, because the sun then goes off the water and then it's blue. Okay, well, why does the sun go off the... It's like, stop.
It's like, dad's tired. I'm done having this conversation.
But just, yeah, it's... Yeah, it's...
Well, that, I mean, if you have no idea where you're going, it's very hard to get there.
Right.
So,
yeah,
the thinking about the why is kind of a, I feel like everybody's doing that. And, like, if you're not, that's, I guess it's fine. It's, everybody gets to live their life the way they want to live it.
Totally.
If you're thinking why all the time, that's a good sign that, you know, you're trying to better yourself and figure stuff out and figure out what the purpose is. Because if you have a mind, like we talk about all the time, if you have a big purpose, quote unquote big purpose, and again, I do quote unquote big because it doesn't necessarily have to be something huge, like funding orphanages or, you know, the food bank in your local city or whatever. It can be, your purpose can be, well, I want to watch TV for 8 hours a day. So yeah, how much passive income do I need to be able to do that, right?
Sure.
I want to eat out once a week and yeah, whatever. It doesn't have to be yachts and McLarens. No. But that's kind of at the base of all this, because it's hard to kind of prioritize on your to-do list what's the most important if you don't have at least some semblance of an idea of where you're going. And I feel like a lot of people do have a rough idea, but spending some time thinking about that as well.
Yeah, and I think there's like that fine line.
Again, talking to myself.
Whoa.
We're all just trying to figure it out.
I feel ya. I feel ya. And it's like walking that tight line, I can speak personally, where, like, you know, if there's, you know, if you think that your life matters, which I do, well then...
Thank you. You're talking about my life?
Well, both of ours. Well, yeah. But if you think your life matters, well... then it's about spending that time in the best way that you can to achieve, you know, your purpose. And I know it's heavy stuff, but you kind of if you fast forward in your head right now and you go to on your deathbed, well, you know, that's, you want to arrive at that moment and feel really good about how you lived your life. You know, like you said what's on your mind, you connected with your friends, you prioritize what's important in your life, and you made a difference in other people's lives and all these things. It's just as you age, you know, there's no turning this back. And I know this is heavy talk right now, and like Matt, you know, I said a few times now, we're talking to ourselves. that there's no redos. You know what I mean? Like this game is going to end at some point, and you want to make sure that you live it the best way that you can, right? And I'm really appreciative of Gary and Jay writing this book and writing The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, because it gives us all a model to work off of and saves us all so much time and so much mistakes, because we can just learn off of other top achievers and people that have already done it. So, go to you.
Yeah, it's just like you said, being able to focus in some capacity, because there's an infinite number of things you can do. Learn, what are those? There's an infinite number of things that you can do, infinite number of things that you can learn, and then there's a third one.
Yeah, so desire to know, desire to have, and then have. Desire to do.
And there's an infinite number of all
those things. And there's choices in the middle.
Right? So yeah. Then you essentially, because life is so finite, you can only choose a little pie slice out of all those things to know, do, and have.
Yeah.
You can't just know, do, and have everything. It's just
it's too complex, it's too abundant.
Impossible. It's just so abundant, right? So having something to focus you in, even just a little bit, is super important. So we'll wrap up the episode. There's just two quotes before we hop on out of here. The things that matter the most must never be at the mercy of things which matter the least. And the things that are most important don't always scream the loudest. So that's a good one to keep in mind. But yeah, that's it. I don't know if you have anything to say or we can wrap up.
No, that's I enjoyed this. I hope the listeners enjoyed it too. We're going to continue moving forward with going through the one thing, and we're going to continue with the lies. I hope you guys got some value out of today. Thanks so much for listening in. We appreciate you guys so much, and have an awesome day, and we will see you later.